I looked up here and I thought, oh, where's my Bible?
You gave me a fright. Let's turn our Bibles over to John chapter 17. And I want to preach in an area that I love this area. And thank you. And it's a beautiful place. I like the book of John. The book of John is a personal book. The book of John is where you see the Lord taking time with his disciples and growing them and teaching them and showing them some things that he's going to go through and that some things that they're going to go through. And so, anyways, let's start with John chapter 17, and we will start with verse 1. And the Bible tells us, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And I was manifest, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all these things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them all the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." Let's go ahead and let's read verse 9. "And I pray thee, pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I thank you for your goodness to us. And I thank you for what all you have given us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight to remember who needs to be honored and glorified. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand what we need to do and what glorifies the Lord. And so tonight, and we preach in that, and I need your help. And so, Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts, have your will in your way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. The Bible tells, here's my text verse. In verse 1, we just read text passage, but here text verse is verse 1. The Bible says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." That statement can be taken wrong in this world today. In this world today, it's all about me. It's all about me. But that's not what Jesus Christ was talking about. Jesus Christ was talking about, help me, raise me from the dead. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So what is he talking about? He's saying, glorify me that I may glorify you. And I'll talk about that here in a minute. I'm going to just say it now because I might skip it later. I don't know. I'll just do it while I'm talking about it. So here, the Bible is talking about those that have gotten saved through all the ages because of Jesus Christ. And so that's a wonderful thing. That's a beautiful thing. But tonight, what I'm going to talk about, what falls under glorifying God. What falls under glorifying God. And so here in this discourse from John chapter 13 through John chapter 17 is a discourse Jesus is having with his disciples. In John chapter 13, he's having the Lord's Supper with the disciples. He's having it early because He said, I'm not going to be here when we have that feast day. And there's a matter of opinions about a lot of this stuff. But Jesus Christ was dead for 3 days and for three nights. He was in the belly of the earth, just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale. Matthew says that in chapter 24, I think it is. 24, I might be off, but it's in there. Read it. And so here, the Bible tells us that. And so when Jesus Christ, I think this will happen on Tuesday. This Tuesday evening, he's sitting here with his disciples, and he's having the Lord's Supper, and towards the evening here. In John chapter 13, it talks about how, it talks about the table, it talks about the towel, and it talks about the traitor. It talks about how they had the Lord's Supper, and it talks about how he did. This was not an ordinance. The Lord's Supper was an ordinance, but washing the feet is not an ordinance. Right. It's service. And it's, he said, do what I've showed you. I mean, follow me as your example. And so here he was showing his disciples, hey, humble yourself, put on the towel, and get to work. And so there's a lot of things that we see in the Lord Jesus Christ. All things we need to follow him. You know, he pleased the Lord, pleased God, he pleased his Father. And you know what? If you're saved, we're called his children. We're his sons and daughters. But if we're his, and if we know that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, pleased the Father, then not only because of word, of what the Bible says, follow him as our example, but because of the common sense. The common sense is he pleased the Father, so I want to please him. You want to please him, so let's follow him. And so we find this this Tuesday evening was being observed through this Passover. And then we see the talks with the disciples there. And we see that going through chapter 14, we see the promise. We see them, be not troubled. I got a mansion in heaven is being prepared for you. Chapter 15, he said, abide in me and I in you. He said, I'm the vine. And then he talked about the promise. In chapter 15 and 16, he talked about the promise of the Father, the Comforter, which will come and lead and guide you into all truth. What is truth? Pilate said, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Who will stand before Pilate? The Word of God. And so, here we have the fact that he says, what is truth? So here we find this fact. So the promise of the Comforter. The Comforter, let me give this, I don't think we got a problem here, but you know, in a lot of places there is a problem, and it's getting bigger because people are getting, I shouldn't say this because this is not an etiquette word, but not smarter. Okay? I was going to say stupid, but stupider, kind of like Jupiter, something like that. But anyways, it's not, isn't there a joke about that? Forget it. But anyways, the truth is, people are avoiding the Word of God. They're not listening to the Word of God. And so people today are talking about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Oh, I felt him. I got a second baptism. No, you didn't get a second baptism. You're saved. You're saved. You got all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. It's you that needs to yield. And once you yield, and more often and more abundantly you yield your life to him, the Holy Spirit works more and more in your life. But it's about you. You got to yield. You got to surrender. You got to. It's not about God. It's not God being limited. It's you. Don't limit the Holy One of Israel. And so the Bible tells us here about that. And so the Holy Spirit is not, you know, today they're going around in different countries, or even in Ghana very especially, they're doing a blah, 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 they're doing a thing that they say is tongues. And I said, okay, if it's tongues, let me tell you this. Number one, tongues was a sign's gift, and it's no more. Tongues was to the Jews, to the unsaved Jews. Matter of fact, tongues is what Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost, so that all the nations that had different languages could hear the gospel. It was for propagating the gospel. Okay, so then 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, when that which is come is that which is complete, that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. But now, listen, this is the church age. It's not the time of the Jews, it's the time of the Gentiles. We go by the Word of God. So we got to get into the Word of God. If we want help of the Holy Spirit and understand and know, the Bible says, try the spirits in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. It said, try the spirit. How are you going to try the spirits and how are you going to know who's speaking to you? If you don't get in the Word of God. You've got to. Because there's a lot of things that speak to me. And a lot of things speak to every one of you. I know you hear voices just like I do. sorry, Pastor. I'm not getting strange. I'm just telling you. You know, I'm not going cuckoo either. I mean, you know, some of these people, they go to cuckoo because they hear the, you know, they get in the padded room and all that other stuff. They hear, start hearing voices. But, you know, I'm talking about there's things that speak to you. And sometimes people think that God's will, oh, this is God's will. But they don't bother taking the Bible and lining up the principle and the truth to what God said. So if it's God's will, then God's word will not contradict it. But if you don't know God's word, then you'll do somebody's will that's not God's. And that's exactly where I shouldn't have stayed too long, but I mean, it worked. It preached. The first thing I want to talk about here is our job is to give glory to God. That's our job. That's our purpose. That's why we was created, for His glory. Okay? And so here, the first thing that brings glory to God is purging sin. Purging sin. Let's go over here real quickly, and I'm going to try to be as quick as I can. But John chapter 13, if we look over in John chapter 13, this is a great place. The Bible tells us about John, the beloved. They were all sitting there. If you put it in your mind, at the Lord's Supper, and they're sitting there, and John is sitting there at Jesus Christ's bosom. The Bible says, and the beloved John, and he asks Jesus, "Who's going to forsake you or betray you?" And Jesus said, "The one who dips his hand in with me, or the sop in with me, or I give to." So let's read this. The Bible says in chapter 13 and verse 26, Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give," that's it, "give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, "That thou dost do it quickly. Do it quickly." And the disciples, you know, Judas, he held the bag. I can read on. The Bible says in verse 28, "Now no man at the table knew of for what intent he spake these unto him. For some of them thought that because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things," or "these things," "those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor." He then, having received the sop, went immediately, and it was night. So, but I want you to see this verse, these verses right here. Verse 31, the Bible says, "Therefore, when he was gone out," Judas Iscariot represented sin. You need it. If you want to please God, if you want to bring glory to God, you need to get sin out of your life. You need to purge it, and you need to get rid of it. Here, Judas Iscariot, the Bible says, look at this, says there, verse 31, "Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." You know, I believe God is glorified in our lives when we get rid of sin. When we get rid of sin, it's going to be easier to live for Him. You can't do it living in sin. And so here's a passage I believe to be good. So I want to show you another thing that glorifies God. God is glorified in the sinless state of humanity. We see, number one, in the divine Jesus, we see that he was without sin. In Hebrews 4:15, we can turn there real quickly. Hebrews 4:15. Hebrews 4:15, the Bible says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at and in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin." The verse didn't stop. He was tempted like we were. He became man so he could die for man. He became a man under the law, Galatians tells us. Why? Because if he wasn't under the law, he couldn't die for us. He had to come under the law to die for us. So he came under the law. He left glory. I talked about this morning. He left glory to come down here and get his hair pulled out and spit on and ridiculed and a whole bunch of things. But here we find this, that he was yet without sin. But also I find in 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible says, "He hath made him," God hath made Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us who knew no sin," who knew no sin. God, "He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Very clear. Very clear. We can't be righteous without God. We can't be righteous without Jesus Christ. He is the one that makes us righteous before God. And so here we find out God is glorified in sinless state of humanity. We see that in God. We see that in the beginning of the creation. The Bible tells us, we won't turn to all these passages, but in Genesis chapter 1, you'll know the scriptures here. The Bible says, "Let's make man in our own image." Okay? What was he talking about? God the Father, God the Son, three in one. What are we? Body, soul, and spirit. Okay? But also, Adam was perfect. Adam was sinless. God was glorified. Perfect creation. Then man came into the picture, stayed around a little longer, and we messed things up. We do. I mean, all through the Bible talks about how man messes things up and God fixes it. And then man messes it up again, God fixes it. I thank God for him. That was a good message this morning. And so the Bible tells us that we need to die to our sin. We need to be dead to our sin. Over in Romans chapter 6, the Bible tells us that this baptism is not water baptism. This is talking about the saved person. And he's telling us here that in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, Romans 6, 3. Let's go here. The Bible says verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death," died to sin. What did Jesus become? He became sin. He took our sin so we could have his righteousness. And you know, when I think of resurrection, when I think of the death, burial, and resurrection, the Bible tells us in Ephesians, Jesus Christ wasn't just laying there recuperating. He went to the lower parts of the earth, the Bible says, and he set the captives free. He got the keys of death and hell. And on the dawning of the day, on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, he brought victory to us. He won victory over death. That's so moving. That's so awesome. That's great. And this is what glorifies God. What God is glorified. Let's finish reading this in verse 4. This Romans 6:4 says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ." You read this passage and you'll find like as, likewise. I mean, you'll see a comparison. We should be like Christ. He said, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We talked about this morning about getting saved. When somebody gets saved, things change. Newness of life. And so what glorifies God is that sinless state. Then also I find here, let's go to John chapter 17 where I was at and where we started at. The Bible says God is glorified in the fuller display of the Son's true divine nature. Okay. Let me ask yourself this question. What are you displaying? Are we displaying Christ when people see us? I also talked about this morning. We could put on a show. We could put on the right clothes. We could put on the tie. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in the world that are good actors. And they're not in Hollywood only. But they're all over. And we could put on a good act. But from our heart, the attitude, the truth, is Christ there? Can people see that? It's not just a one-time act. It's not just a one-day-of-the-week act. It's a lifestyle. It's the way I live. It's the way way we should be. You know, and Paul, I'm not saying that you're never in the flesh, because Paul said, hey, I got some problems. You know, Romans chapter 7. I believe it was in Romans 14, 7. So anyways, he's talking about, or 7, 14. He's talking about, hey, what the things I should, I don't. Things I should, things I do, I shouldn't do. So what was he talking about? He said, oh, wretched man that I am. So God is glorified in the fuller display of his Son. We find here, John chapter 17 and verse 1, the Bible says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Jesus, the hour is come. And the hour is, it's not talking about, okay, it's time to leave, Pastor. It's not talking about that hour. It's talking about a time. A time, that time that was ordained from the beginning of the world, before the worlds were formed. The hour has now come. The time has come for me to die for all mankind. You know, I know you probably know this, but you know the Old Testament people that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ? They were not in heaven. Matter of fact, when the thief died on the cross, Jesus Christ said, I remember you today. Today I remember you in paradise. So what is he doing? He's going to set the captives free. He's going to set those feet. People that trusted in Christ as their Savior, put their faith in him and the blood that was not shed yet. They put their faith in him. That's what it takes. Trust. Faith. So now we're on the other side of the cross. We haven't seen any of it either. But it's the same thing. It's by faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the word of God. So the Bible tells us, let's go on. In John chapter 17, 1, the Bible tells us, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So here, what glorifies God is a fuller display of his Son in your life and my life. So here we find the fact of the accepted sacrifice. Jesus Christ didn't accept, or God didn't accept the blood of bulls and goats. But over in Hebrews, the Bible tells us he accepted Jesus Christ. One man. He died for the sins of all the world. He accepted that. In Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that also. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, what I was talking about, how that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead from his Father. You know what he's saying here, like I just mentioned, is God raised him from the dead. So he's saying, listen, as a Christian, what is God glorified with? When we die. Not croak, not no more air. I'm talking about when we die. When we put what we want or what we desire behind us. And say, God, what do you want? You know, when I was, when I surrendered to the preacher, I was 15. When I surrendered to, 16. And when I surrendered to the mission field, I was 19. I got married when I was 24. Okay, now I'm just telling you that timeline. I'm not saying it's got to work all that way. I'm just saying I put the Lord first. And then I look for the one that would fit the mold. And it worked. I mean, I found a good prospect. And it worked. And so anyways, Pastor knows what I'm talking about. I won't get into all of it, but you can come back and ask me. It's a good thing to serve God in a local church. Start a singles class. And it worked for me. So, I mean, so anyways, let's go on. So here the Bible tells us here that God is glorified in the fact of by me finishing or you finishing what God has given us to do. Let's look at verse 4, chapter 17, verse 4 says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You know, many times people start out for God and doing something for God, and they quit. And I'm not saying I won't ever quit. I've been tested a lot of time. And I've thought about it several times. Sometimes I think about it a few times a day. And I'm sure we're all human. We probably all feel that same thing. I'm not sure. But I know it happens. And I know the devil will take that resignation anytime. But we got to stay strong in the Lord. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Preacher talked about this morning, my purpose. If you don't have a purpose in life, you don't have anything to live for. And when you do get challenged, and you won't, because if you're not living for God, the devil don't care. Right. So he has nothing to fight with and nothing to fight about. But if you're living for Christ, you're going to have the devil all the time giving you problems. So here we find the Jesus Christ. He's glorified in the fact of the finished work. With Jesus Christ, he came to finish the work. He came to do what his Father said to do. And so here we find that. And the Bible tells us, I finished the work that thou hast given me to do. So, you know, in our lives, our goal should be to finish what God has us start. I'm going to be honest. Sometimes I want to get home. You know, I'm going to be having some grandkids someday. And sooner than when I left, when I was 30, okay? Now I'm almost 50. And this don't convince you, right? So now I'm almost 50, and I know grandkids are going to come on the way. And I want to get back home. But you know what? I got to do what God wants me to do. And I got to finish it. Why? Because that's what the Lord did. I'm glad he did. I'm glad he didn't say, you know when Jesus asked about the cup being removed, the cup of suffering? He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine. That's so important. Because if I did what I wanted, I might be better off in the eyes of the world, but I'd be worse off in the eyes of my Savior. So here the Bible tells us is the fifth thing the Bible tells us here. So Jesus, he finished his work. You remember the disciples, they in John chapter 3, I believe it was John chapter 4, when he went to the woman at the well, and the disciples, they went off. They said, I got to go to McDonald's, and we're hungry, man. I got to have it my way. And so they went there, and so Jesus said, okay, I'll be here. I mean, I'm just putting my words here. But he's there and he's speaking to the woman at the well. And then after she gets saved and she realized her sin, she realized, hey, he's more than just, this must be a prophet. Well, what gave you the hint? So he said, because he told her the truth, he said, hey, this is not the husband you had five, and this is not the one. And so anyway, so she realized that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. She received Christ as her Savior. And the Bible says that the disciples came back, and I don't know, maybe they had a sack lunch and said, "Lord, hey, I got an extra quarter pounder for you." But you know what? That's not, Jesus said, "I'm not hungry. I've had my fill. I had my meat." What was this meat? Finishing what the Lord wants. God is not willing that any should perish. He finished what God wanted right there at the well. She went and told others. Then we find this. Jesus made it a priority to finish his work. Jesus was accomplished. Look over. He accomplished in John 19:30. I want to show you this one. John 19:30. So he finished his work of Calvary, John 19:30. The Bible says, "When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." You know, that day, I'm telling you, when you live Christ-like through it all, through the good times and the bad times, there's going to be somebody like that centurion says, "Surely this must have been the Son of God." That day, Jesus Christ was a witness when he died. I just love the story. And so the fourth thing that I talked about here is God is glorified by us finishing what he has us to do. God is glorified, the fifth thing, and the manifesting of his name. If you remember at the passage I just read here in John chapter 17, the Bible says in verse 8, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them." You know what we're supposed to do? When God speaks to us, we're to teach it. We're to give it. Why? Because it glorifies God. Jesus Christ puts the word of God even above his own name. And so we see that. Oh, and the last thing, almost the last thing that I want to give here, is God is glorified by teaching his valued word. His valued word. They received it. Teaching, you know, a lot of kids go to school and they listen to the teacher. And a lot of kids go to school and they're sitting in the same desk and they don't listen to the teacher. But they're there. Some learn and some don't learn, like the pastor was saying this morning. My friends are, you know, they were the guys that, you know, were 18 and they were still in the sixth grade. I had a friend like that, and I know when I sat by him in class, I got in trouble. I won't tell you all the stories, but anyways, it's exactly what happens. Choose the right friend. But anyway, God is glorified by teaching his valued word. And so we taught that, the Prince of Quasi, and we taught that. And same with us. Even before we left, we discipled. That was part of our ministry. I was assistant pastor. We gave the word of God out. We taught it. It's the only way people grow. The last thing I want to give you is this, and I'll be finished, is God is glorified when we're a good steward of what he has given us. Okay, I want to take you through this real quick. If you look at this, John chapter 17, I want you to look at a few phrases. The Bible tells us some of these phrases. The Bible tells us that about the phrase that God is glorified by good stewardship of what he has given us. So if we understand whatever he gave us. So we take the phrase in verse 2, it says, "As thou hast given him power." Okay, it's talking about God giving power to Jesus Christ. And then it talks about here in verse 2, it says, at the bottom, it says, "That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." You know, people come into our lives like our own kids. I think the pastor was talking about this morning, about teaching our own kids. It's our job. You're parents. That's what we're supposed to do. We aren't just supposed to wait. We birth them, and then, oh, they're 18. Oh, okay, let's go to your wedding. No, no, there's things you should have taught them between that and that. So here there's so many things. About 14 different times, God gives reference Christ gives reference to the things that God gave him. And I'm going to show you this. When somebody repeats over and over and over and over something, don't you think it's important? I do. I know that that's what happens when mom would say, "Hey, son, Matthew, Jonathan, Siegbert." I mean, she would, I mean, she must be talking to me. There's seven of us. And that was the caboose. And so she made a point to get my attention. Jesus Christ is making a point. God makes a point to get our attention. Sometimes if we don't listen to the Word of God, He's going to get our attention some other way. And that's scary. And that's something to be afraid of, because it'll happen. It can happen. So the Bible tells us here, I'm just going to give these real quick. He's given us the phrase. Jesus Christ says, "Thou hast given me, thou hast given me, thou hast given me." And phrases that have to do what God has given Jesus Christ. In verse 2, two times. In verse 4, one time. In verse 6, two times. In verse 7, one time. In verse 8, one time. In verse 9, one time. In verse 11, one time. Verse 12, one time. I'm not saying these quick, so I can go fast. But I want you to go home and look at this. This is a beautiful passage. Verse 22, one time. Verse 24, two times. God is glorified when we're good stewards of what He has given us. I think missions is the purpose, the key and the purpose of the New Testament local church. Let's bow our heads. Could you stand? Pastor.